from the heart of Dubai, where tomorrow is being built today to the world. Welcome to the CTO Show with Mehmet. Here, we redefine technology and reimagine possibilities. With Mehmet, delve into the riveting realms of AI, cybersecurity, and digital technology. Experience the thrilling highs and lows of startups. Immerse yourself in the spirit of entrepreneurship and witness the future of business innovation being written in real time. Now, without further ado, let's tune in and explore the future.
Hello and welcome back to a new episode of the CTO Show with Mehmet. Today, I'm very pleased joining me, Habiba. Habiba, she's the CTO and co-founder of Metric.app. Thank you very much for being with us here today, Habiba. The way I love to do it is I keep it to my guests to introduce themselves, to tell us a little bit more about their background and what they are up to. So the floor is yours.
Sure. Thank you so much, Mehmet. It's so nice to meet you and to talk to you here today. So yes, my name is Habiba. I am the CTO of Metric, and I've been with the team since the very beginning. As you mentioned, I'm one of the co-founders. My background is in AI and machine learning, in computer science. I had been working in this field for more than two decades now. And as a CTO, I oversee our tech team and our the couple of apps that we have built, which is one of them is our Android app and a web app. And now we are launching our iOS app as well. The application that we are building is for small and medium-sized businesses to manage their finances and to give insights to them to help them grow their businesses. So yeah, this is what I do. A bit of, if you want, I can start with my background myself.
Yeah, actually, what I'm interested, Habiba, in, I know if you can tell me a little bit more. I know that you have done some transition from, you know, doing research and kind of academia to where you are today, you know, with your journey. So if you can like highlight a little bit about that journey as well.
Sure. So starting from start, I have I'm a big math enthusiast. So this is where all my inspiration started from, you know, like trying to do something in mathematics, which transitioned into computer science. I got my undergraduate in computer science from Pakistan, where I am originally from. And then I moved to the U.S. To the University of Illinois Chicago, where I went for my grad school. I did my PhD in computer science from there. Basically, the topic that I was working on was finding influential individuals in dynamic networks. So it was basically a network application of data-driven methodology. After my PhD, I went to Germany to do a postdoc, where I worked with in a European Research Council funded project on the times of when the colonial invasions of the Caribbean. So it was a very interesting application of machine learning and data science to build methods around how trade routes and how population dispersion happened during colonization of the Caribbean islands. I personally enjoy this side of computer science, where I am applying technical methodology to applications in real world. From there onwards, I moved to more industrial setting, where I worked as a data scientist for Otto, which is an online retail organization based in Hamburg. And from there, I moved to Australia, where I worked for CSIRO, the Commonwealth Science and Engineering Research Organization. And I worked as a research engineer, working with different government agencies in building machine learning and deep learning based methods for different applications. From there, I moved to Microsoft as an AI specialist, and I worked with customers around Australia and New Zealand, helping them build their machine learning and data science solutions on Azure using Azure Cloud Services. And now I work as a data scientist at the Department of Education in New South Wales. So here I am building different tools for school staff and students to improve the education quality. So yeah, this is my overall journey. And of course, like also I had been the CTO of Metric for the last 2.5 years. So, you know, that's something I've been working on the side as well. Now, my journey from academia to industry, the way it happened was that I was always interested in trying to work on unique and unique problems. So academia gave me that opportunity, especially research, to understand different business problems and trying to find very unique customized solutions for those. And I realized that as a data scientist and a machine learning practitioner, we need a lot of data, and industry is with lots of application is a place where you can easily leverage a lot of techniques that you learn in research. So that's how I transitioned from a pure academia to industry, where in a more applied machine learning settings. And at Metric as well, what inspired me was that we had very unique challenges for small and medium-sized businesses, how to help them grow their businesses, how to understand their numbers, and how to help them understand how they can maintain and grow in a very competitive environment. So there are very few solutions out there which can help, which can give these kind of customized solution to small businesses. So that got me interested in working on this application.
That's really, you know, like a very rich experience, I would say, and you know, great also background that you have now. You know, from, you know, always, this is what I feel when someone is like very well versed in the technology side, especially in a domain such machine learning and AI. So you are always on the hunt, as you mentioned, to find, you know, problem that you can solve with this use case. And you choose, you know, like finance management, which is, you know, part of a fintech. So you just touched base, but I would love, you know, to know, when did you feel, you know, like, yeah, like actually at Metric, you know, we are solving critical challenges that SMEs and startups are facing. So if you can tell me or walk me through these challenges that they face usually, and how, you know, applying machine learning, you know, is helping, you know, these customers to get the results that they should be aiming for.
Sure. So the way the small businesses work is that they, you know, they are very good with what they are trying to build, but managing their finance is a different is a completely different beast. They usually are very skilled in their craft, but when they want to scale, they get into this challenging space: how to manage, you know, their what are they spending and what they are getting out of it. So, and there are a number of tools out there which they can leverage, which help them, you know, maintain their accounting. However, they are they usually require really in-depth knowledge of accounting, and are not so easy for a small business, which is you know, usually challenged by resources, human resources, and skills deficiency. As I said, they are skilled in what they are building, but you know, accounting requires some specialized knowledge, and then they get stuck with that, and they you know, try to avoid doing that, and that, you know, stops them from growing. So in that kind of scenario, they need something that can help them in a personalized way. Now, these personalized help are very expensive. So, you know, usually like you would need an accountant or a consultant or somebody with an expertise to, you know, help you understand your numbers and help you understand how you can grow. Now, this is, if you are a large organization, yes, you can hire people and you can, and they can help you with that. However, if you're a small business, you know, you don't have the, you can't afford extra support. So, and in that situation, what can help you? So, this is where my inspiration started. That, you know, I usually had been working with big corporate organizations with, you know, lots of funding, and, you know, they are able to, like, when they want to build something, they just are able to hire the right people and, you know, build those things. But what happens when you are resource constrained? How do you make the most out of it? And AI and machine learning is one field where which is powered by data. So if you have data, you have the power, and you it's just a matter of how do you leverage the data. And so this is where I believe Metric has a very special position. Is in a very special position to help businesses, because based on the customer's own numbers, we can give them personalized metric of how their business is doing, what they can do to improve it. So and we can automate the process so that you know they get this this kind of feedback in real time, which is something that you know can help them feel empowered and grow their business.
You know, like you touched, Habiba, on a couple of things that I personally keep repeating, that startups usually they don't have enough resources. They should be always, and small businesses as well, they should be always on the hunt for products that you know can facilitate. You touch base, of course. You know, machine learning and AI, they are fantastic, I would say, tools for us to be able to do more with less, as we can say, plus the automation part. Now, one thing which, you know, as a CTO attracted me while preparing for this episode today, you know, I've seen in your bio, you mentioned like you have done thousands of conversations with customers. And I love this because, you know, there's nothing that can first validate the idea better than talking to customers and then also shaping the product. So what like were the key insights and, you know, like the findings that you heard from the customers that also shaped, you know, through these conversations, how you developed Metric?
Sure. So this has also been, you know, one of the experiences learning for me as well as being the CTO of a startup that, you know, I had been working in one of the most advanced technologies that is AI and machine learning for a very long time. So you get really charmed by the technique, and you are interested in the methodology. But what Metric taught me, and talking to customer taught me, was that how do you use the technology for the benefit of the end user. So it's not necessarily that, you know, you always have to have the fanciest tool to work with, but what's important is that what is going to get the user make things easier for the users. So for example, one of the things that we are leveraging in Metric is using OCR to help customer, you know, take pictures of the receipts and, you know, get the data entry process streamlined in a way that they don't have to, you know, do the manual entry. What that helps is that it saves their time. And also it helps us to process and give them output in a more systematic way based on the outputs of the object character recognition kind of tools. So, so what I understood was that we have to listen to the customer to understand what are their pain points, and what can we practically do to answer those questions. So, multiple conversations and, you know, getting feedback from the customer is basically they want something that is easy and simple to use and is performant and is reliable. So these are the factors that, you know, we take into consideration when we are trying to build something. And so it doesn't has to be the most advanced techniques, but it just has to be something that works and is something that any user can trust.
I love this because, you know, I'm a big believer of listening to what the customers want. And you know, you would agree with me, I think, Habiba, as a CTO, and, you know, especially for you, because you have built a lot of products and systems also during your career. So you have the business acumen. And I think the finance is one of a kind domain in technology that really the business acumen plays a lot of role in this. And this is why I want to ask you now, like, I get to know that Metric is used in over 70 countries. And we know, like, especially when it comes to finance, legal, these kind of stuff, things can be different from one country to another country. So was that a challenge for you, like to learn about all these, I would say, localization needs? Or was it something that you've done something maybe using machine learning and AI to kind of automate this localization? If you can tell me a little bit more about, you know, because this is why I'm asking this question, because not only from technicality perspective, because I always tell startup founders at some stage, you start maybe in one country, let it be UAE, Saudi, Pakistan, Egypt, Turkey, But at some stage, you need to scale out. And then once you start to scale out, you need to have this understanding. So walk me through, you know, this journey of expanding to multiple geographies.
Excellent question. So this is something we are currently trying to do. So first of all, we are now in 180 plus countries now. There are, I think, 190 something countries in the world. And we organically have people who have downloaded and at least tried our metric app in over 180 countries. Those who have signed up, and then there's a different question of, who are our active users, et cetera, which is relatively limited. But, we have quite a bit of presence organically in a number of countries. So our journey started with Pakistan. This was where it was our main customer base, and, we were building it for small and medium-sized businesses within Pakistan. But now we have expanded to the Middle East, and we are in UAE, and, Saudi would be the next one. And then the sky's the limit. So, you mentioned about being a fintech, with different countries, there are different regulations. And it's not one size fits all kind of a situation. So how do we deal with that? So first of all, we are doing localization one step at a time. And right now, it's not something that we are leveraging AI or machine learning for. But, in future, when we want to scale it to a more global market, we'll certainly be looking into a solution that is automated, that is machine learning based, and the AI, and so that we don't have to do these localizations one at a step at a time. So, but our journey so far has been that, to understand the regulations in each country, and then, build improve our product, add certain features in our product so that, from any country, it is easy to and seamless to integrate with the business, local businesses. So anything from, bank integration to taxations, to to language localization, this is something that we are incorporating on our application one step at a time.
Fantastic. Now, the other thing I want to ask you, which is a little bit related to AI. Now, of course, you are the expert here. I come from technology background, but not AI. But of course, I understand. Now, recently, when we say AI, Habibandi, I think you would agree with me. Everyone's mind goes to generative AI, right? So this is where people are going now. Of course, there's a huge potential over there. So first, I would ask you, with the generative AI, everyone start to say, and you mentioned the data also here, talk to your data. So from this perspective, what are you seeing, the benefits of coupling fintech, especially with what you do now at Metric, with generative AI? But beyond this, beyond generative AI, how you see, things moving forward in the domain of fintech, adopting other AI tools, because AGI is one tool. Generative AI is just one tool. So how you are seeing, other, technologies within AI affecting the fintech?
Sure. So a few things that I'm seeing and a few things that we are already, are working on. First of all, is personalization with building a micro advisory for our end users. So the idea here is that, we are, we are sitting on our customers' data, and one of our main goal is to provide insights to the end users based on their data, and to help them and to give them tips and to give them metrics and to give them some health score of how their business is doing, and even doing some level of causality analysis at what they need to do to improve their business, or what are the things that they had been doing in the past that can help that they were doing right and keep doing, or things that they can change, etc. Not just based on their own businesses, but generally generalizing it to more into even their business sector or the region that they are operating in. So this has been something that we have been working on. But now with the generative AI, what we can easily add to the mix is that now a customer, instead of us pushing these tips and feedback to the customer from our end. The customer can seek them themselves. So, you know, providing them with a conversational AI interface where they can ask questions about, you know, what do I need to do? How much should I be spending on marketing this this month? And, you know, based on their data, we can give them insights as to, you know, what would work. It could be based on their businesses or generally based on the generic sector that they are operating in. For example, if it's e-commerce, so we can say that, you know, other generally organization in e-commerce, they're spending in this area. And, you know, this is, you know, given you, you know, the revenue you have, this is, you know, how this percentage you should be spending on marketing or, you know, other areas. So this is, I think, you know, a very straightforward use case of an application of generative AI in this space. Now, taking it further, what I see in future is where generative AI can be even more helpful is that they're giving a more visual outputs to the user. So, you know, not just responding in a conversational interface, but also giving them detailed graphs and charts and, you know, images of, you know, or trends, industrial trends, etc. So I think, you know, this is and this is not something, you know, really too far in future. This is something people are already working on and can easily leverage. So I feel like, you know, that would make the whole process of generating insights a lot easier and simpler. This is something that that would empower the businesses even more.
That's, great to hear this, what's coming in the future. And I think, you know, you're leveraging, as you mentioned before, your product is built around machine learning and AI. So I'm sure, like, you would have a rich roadmap in the future. I'm right, right?
Yep. Yeah, totally. Yeah, this is something, yeah, our main focus moving forward.
Great. Now, I want to shift a little bit gears because, you know, like, a lot of people are interested now to be in this domain, you know, and we know, like, the base for machine learning and everything that comes around it. As to your point, again, we go back to the data. And now, you know, people are thinking how we can get into this domain. So by being, for example, starting being a data scientist, right? So what advice you would give to young professionals and students mainly who they want to pursue a career in this domain, in that data science, machine learning? And maybe, you know, if you tell us also within that domain, like, should they also, I mean, not necessarily one domain, but are there, like, any applications similar to fintech that they can also focus on that can niche down to that?
Great. Yes. So my first advice is that, you know, given that, you know, the way AI has evolved in the last 1 year, I feel like getting into AI and machine learning, it has become a lot easier because now there are so many pre-built powerful models that you can just leverage. So, you know, you basically need to have a little bit of engineering background to know how to, call an API and build a front end interface to get started. So it was quite different a few years ago when to get into this field, you would mostly have to try to build your own models. You know, you would have to train your own models and, you know, deploy it somewhere and then use it. And this would require, some specialized skills, some learning of, you know, how do you build these models and, you know, where do you deploy, et cetera, et cetera. Now, with these pre-built models, it's just that, you know, you need to have a certain level of understanding of how you call APIs, you know, from different tools and technologies and how to use them. So I think it has made it a lot easier. What I find is that a big gap is the challenge of finding a good business problem that can be used that AI or machine learning or these large language models or generative AI can actually help answer those questions. So I think, you know, there's a lot of hype, there is a lot of excitement, practically what, you know, they can achieve, what their limitations are, something that, you know, are something that we have to be very careful. And especially when you talk about fintech, you know, you mentioned, you know, the highly regulated industry and you know, with working with sensitive data. So we need to be very careful that, you know, how we using any pre-built models, what is exactly its outputting and how do we do the evaluation of, you know, the responses it's providing us are actually useful. So how do we measure that? So, you know, this is something we need to be careful about. Now, which fields are the one that I feel where these techniques can be very, very useful other than fintech is what I found is that in health sector and in marketing, these tools are heavily used and they are very useful. The reason I find them potentially very useful in those industries is because of the data that is available to fine tune these models. So you know you have these base models, foundation models, but then for every application you have to customize to in a certain way. So you need some kind of fine tuning so that it's really is able to answer the kind of questions which is very specific to your domain. And I feel like in healthcare and marketing we do have those sort of data that can be used to help fine tune. Also, how you can. I think the very big differentiator of using these models is when you use a proprietary data to answer not just a generic question but specific to a particular domain and for your user. So I think this technique called RAG, retrieval augmented generation, is something that is definitely going to be something leveraged a lot in the future.
Absolutely. And I remember when I tried one time to just out of curiosity to see how this machine learning works, and I came across one course and there was like they touched base on like something like deep learning, TensorFlow, and these libraries, and just like matter of training little bit of data, it's a huge effort. And now we are lucky enough, big companies build these large language models and, that are ready for us to use. Like even myself without proper data science background, of course, I cannot do everything that a data scientist would do. But I mean, for me as a normal user, I can, get the data, manipulate the data and do useful stuff with it. So this is really amazing. And to your point, a lot of guests mentioned health tech, another area which is very promising. Education also as well. I'm personally excited about that area as well. So definitely. Now, it's kind of a traditional question I ask, but you just mentioned many things change in 1 year. You're absolutely right. But, what are the trends that we should be expecting to see in the AI and machine learning? And I will not tell you in a couple of years. I will just tell you in the near future, maybe 12 months or so. So what are your expectations?
So a few trends that I can see coming in future is, I think from a hardware perspective, I feel like, things, the availability of powerful compute so that you can train your own models. I think this is something that is lacking, but I think now there is a big need for it now that we know the power of these large language models. So more and more companies are trying to build their own custom solutions, and for that we need compute. So I think not necessarily from a software technology or the methodology perspective, but more having a cheaper hardware available. I mean that's how even large language models came about. The basic concepts were still there. So natural language processing has been there for a very long time. And, in deep learning, we were already building deep learning models. But, what is the difference that these generative AI models are bringing is just that they are huge. They have billions of parameters and they are leveraging a lot of data. And to leverage a lot of data, you need a powerful compute. To be able to train like a deep model with billions of parameters, again, you need compute. So the basic methodology was still there, but what made the whole difference was being able to train these large models. So I think what I see in the next 12 or so months is, and this is something I'm seeing at my with anyone I'm working with, that they are just waiting until they can train their own models so that they have more power, they have more control over what they are building, and not just using these pre-built models that are black boxes, because I feel like you know, the more we get into it, we have to be careful from a responsible AI perspective that what is how much we can trust the output of these models. I mean, you know, in the end, they are all stochastic models, so they give as exact answer as, you know, based on the data they're trained on. So depending on, you know, what your sources of data is, you know, they have their biases built into it, and hallucination is another issue that, you know, is well known about large language models, that, you know, they are sometimes, you know, like, having learned through such a huge corpus of data, they start becoming very creative, and, you know, the responses may not be, you know, useful in the sense that, you know, they are exact. So, you know, these are the places where I feel like, you know, there will be a lot more work done. So one is, you know, from a hardware computational perspective, then secondly, responsible AI, and then evaluating the these large language models. So even I get challenged by, you know, seeing like it's overwhelming that, you know, pretty much like every day there are new foundational models that you hear about, and everyone would claim that their models are the best, but how do you evaluate them? How do you benchmark these different technologies? So I think, you know, there will be a lot more work done in that area in the near future.
Absolutely. And, you know, of course, the first part, you know, I think everyone would agree with you about, you know, and everyone, you know, talking about how I can train and, you know, have this compute locally on my machine, even on my smartphone. I know like Samsung, they're trying to do something. I know Apple, they are trying to do something also as well in that, and other, I mean, hardware vendors as well. And the second point, this is why we start to see, and, you know, like, I never seen, you know, when you have a technology and then a technology that complement very fast. So everyone is talking about, you know, retrieval augmented generation, which is RAG, you know, they call it, you know, just to make sure that AI is more accurate, more, to your point, it's not hallucinating. There's a lot of startups also in that domain, which is fascinating because, you know, like we just have the generative AI, and in just less than 1 year, we start to have these complementary startups. Now, as we're coming almost to an end, Habiba, with you today, final advice from you also for people who want to start, I mean, to go and have a startup, especially if they come from a technology domain, what you can tell them and where we can find more and learn more about you and Metric App.
Sure. So I think, you know, my advice would be to start small and build and iterate over it. So instead of in a startup world, and the way, you know, things, especially in the tech side and AI side, things are changing so rapidly that you cannot sit around for 6 months trying to build one feature or one tool. You need to do it. You need to be, experiment quickly and then iterate over it. So we talked about in the very beginning about, you know, getting feedback from from the customer. So this is really important that, you know, start building, seek input from the end user, how they feel about it, and iterate over it. I feel like building things has become a lot easier. The challenging part is to find your niche, find that, you know, where you can add the value, you can be a differentiator. So, you know, I hear pretty much like every day, you know, there are a lot of startups that are, you know, working in this generative AI space, as you mentioned as well, that yes, you know, literally like every day you would hear about, you know, a new startup doing that. But then in this competitive environment, you need to understand that it's not just about, you know, knowing the technology, it's just about how to use it properly and where it will add some value. So I think, you know, and for that, you need constant feedback. So, you know, start small, build things, see how it goes and improve on it. So I think, yeah, this is something really important.
Great. And what's the any website where we can find about Metric and, you know, anything about you, Habiba?
Sure. So for the Metric, you know, our website, metricapp.ai, is where you can find out what we are, our products and what we have built and, you know, where we are headed. And you can find me on LinkedIn at habiba.h. So habiba.h and Habiba-H, .h. So yeah, I am connect with me over there. And, you know, if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Sure. Thank you very much. I will make sure that, you know, I will put the links in the show notes. And really, thank you very much. And just as a, you know, small feedback on what you mentioned last, this is, you know, my, as they say, my 2 cents for fellow founders. You mentioned previously in one of the answers for my questions about finding the business problem and then build the solution on it and then go and start and get feedback. So absolutely, 100%, I agree with you. Habiba, thank you very much for being with me today on this episode. I really appreciate the time and all the knowledge. And, you know, also, congratulations on Metric App. It, you know, fantastic technology that it put in the hands of startups and small, medium businesses that they need the most support from us. So thank you for that. And this is how I end usually my episodes. So this is for the audience. If you just discovered this podcast by luck, thank you for passing by. If you like it, please subscribe and share it with your friends and colleagues and family. And if you are one of the people who keep coming, the loyal followers, thank you very much for your feedback. Thank you very much for your suggestions. Keep them coming. And I'm hoping that you are enjoying this podcast. If you do so, also don't forget to share it with your friends and colleagues. Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll meet again very soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mehmet.
Hit that subscribe button. Share the show with your tech-savvy friends and fellow entrepreneurs. And leave us a review on your favorite podcast app. Your support means the world to us.